Now, the biggest stories. Overloading the line. A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
And always remember that the Blitz is brought to you by Sissy's Log Cabin. And Connor, I'd imagine this first one, it's been in the drafts for a while.
Yes, in the least shocking news of all time, Darvin Ham has been fired by the Lakers. He is 90-74 over a two-season tenure with a Western Conference Finals appearance and an inaugural in-season tournament championship.
That didn't save his job, you mean? Damn.
Did you see that resume?
That's tough.
It's incredible.
That's tough. And also, you know, all those close games they played with the Nuggets the last 2 years, that didn't save his job either.
Well,
what the Lakers hammer home is, it was 4-1, and then we got swept as well. But those games, they were all so close. We had a lead in every game of the series when we lost in that gentleman's sweep this year. So we weren't that far off. But that didn't save him either. I mean, Darvin Ham, the truth of the matter is, I know that I've heard like Charles Barkley and Draymond Green come to his defense because I guess they're close with him. But the truth of the matter is, the guy was a cardboard cutout, as you've said, about this entire year. On the sideline, he just didn't do anything. Right? And his adjustments didn't work. You know, the Cam Reddish experience lasted way too long during the middle of the season. And the Lakers expect more. But I will say this. The Lakers, like this whole experience they have in this win now window, because they want things to happen so fast because they've won so much in the past. This will be their eighth head coach since 2011-2012.
Wow.
And it'll be the third time in six off seasons that the Lakers are looking for a new head coach. I will say this. I think we've seen in the NBA, patience does work. I don't think Darvin Ham's the guy you have patience with, considering he was a first-time head coach when he got this gig, and it probably should have never been that way. But we are seeing patience actually is a virtue in today's NBA. You look at the Nuggets and what they've done with Michael Malone and the fact that they are on their way to potentially repeat this year. It's interesting to see the Lakers just continually cycle through coaches, but this is kind of what LeBron does too. If you have a LeBron coach team, you sort of are in and out of coaches quick.
Yes. And with this announcement of Darvin Ham, they did announce that they will be hanging the banner almost kind of didn't really beat the Nuggets. That is going to
almost
go up.
Almost kind of didn't
yes,
really beat
that's
the Nuggets.
That's going to go up in the
exact
in the crypt
words
next year. Yes, that's actual exact
almost
words.
Almost kind of didn't really beat the Nuggets.
We lost 4-1. Yeah, yes. That banner is going to be going up. I have some Lakers takes.
Okay.
I have some Lakers takes. So
are they fully workshopped?
They're pretty workshopped.
Okay,
they're pretty
hear
workshopped. I think Darvin Ham stinks. That's take number one.
And I think that's a fair one.
Yep. Number two, I think the Lakers have fallen into the mindset of the big three still works. Because here's my take. LeBron came up in the big three era.
Mm-hmm.
You could even argue he started it, even though the real beginning of it was the Boston Celtics when they got KG, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce. But then LeBron came in and really kickstarted the quote-unquote big three era. Rob Pelinka saw that. LeBron saw it. And not only did LeBron see it, but he got confirmation bias within that by getting, you know, multiple rings from it. So I think that they've been operating the last few seasons trying to put together another big three, and it's just not going to work that way. Like, when you look at it, after that 2020 title, I don't understand why they broke up that team.
They should have just run it back with that team.
They traded their first pick in 2020 and Danny Green for Dennis Schroeder, and then they made a rush trade. Do you know who that pick turned into?
Who?
Jaden McDaniels. Do you know who was two picks away from that?
Who?
Desmond Bane.
Could have helped yourself along
the way. It could have helped. So I think that Darvin Ham stinks, but I also think that the Lakers have been operating incorrectly with their roster.
Well, that's what I'm
now,
saying.
Now, hand
they,
up.
They want quick turnaround and quick championship.
Now, hand up. I thought the Lakers had a pretty damn good offseason, and they still won, I think, 47 games, so they still had a successful regular season. They just ran into a buzzsaw in the first round with the Denver Nuggets. I do think that they had the talent to maybe go a little bit further than that, but they just got a tough seeding. That being said, there are ways out of this. I do think that they need a true point guard. And basically what they could do is you have the option right now. You could try to sell low on D'Lo and go after a guy like Lauri Markkanen and then use the extra money that you would get from that to go after somebody like Tyus Jones.
Yeah.
They need a true point guard. They need more depth. You need to get the onus off of LeBron to put this team on his back because
He's
going to be 40 years old, and he had an amazing season for 39. But asking him to do it again next year seems like a tall task. So they just got to get more depth. They got to get more pieces that fit. They certainly need more shooting, and Austin Reeves is not the answer to the shooting. They have got to go find a real shooter. There are a few things that they can do, but Darvin Ham wasn't the problem, but he was a problem. So it's smart that they've moved off from
him. Now, here's an interesting point. You brought up the super team, you know, big three era and spending a whole lot of money on, you know, minimal pieces and then trying to surround those guys. I was looking at this today, and Bobby Marks put it out from ESPN, does a really good job talking about the cap and how much money teams are spending. Seven of the top 10 spenders in salary in the NBA this year are already eliminated.
Really?
And then the Clippers, who are two, are down 3-2, and they have an elimination game tonight where Kyrie Irving is looking at, you know, going 13-0 in closeout games. So,
damn,
listen, he's 12-0 right now in closeout games in his career. So it just shows, like, it's not necessarily about money. It's about seasoning your talent and developing your talent and moving from there and then adding, you know, role players along the way. We keep talking about that. Now, some of the names that have come up in this coaching search, Mike Budenholzer, I think that would be a fine hire.
Yep.
Kenny Atkinson.
Sure.
Okay.
Good coach.
J.J. Redick is still that wild card that's being mentioned.
His first job to be the Lakers.
And also, I do, listen, I think J.J. Redick is, I think he's built to be a head coach in the NBA someday.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that, I get where people would have a problem with him just jumping straight in as a head coach, like sort of the Steve Nash deal. You know what I mean? It's just, never have even been on a bench as an assistant coach to jump straight into being a head coach when there's guys like Mike Budenholzer and Kenny Atkinson and all these guys around just feels like you're jumping the line a little bit too far. But I'm a big fan of J.J. Redick, and I think he could be successful as a head coach. I want to make that clear. And then the one that they really want, we don't have to hide this, it's Ty Lue.
Right.
But the Clippers, if I'm the Clippers, I don't get rid of Ty Lue. There's no reason to get rid of Ty Lue. He's done nothing wrong. I thought he did fine with this Clippers team this year. But now Kawhi's out in the playoffs, and that's just how it's been for him the past few years. There's nothing he can do in particular about the bad luck he has to deal with and the players he has to deal with. And I think the Clippers are in a situation where they've already re-upped 3 years, $152 million with Kawhi. Paul George may walk. We'll see what happens there. They may re-up James Harden, but they're probably going to try to compete for a year or three, depending on, you know, how Kawhi and his whole career ages the next 3 years, and it's been trending in the wrong direction injury-wise for a while. But I don't think their top of their wish list is probably Ty Lue. I don't think that's a real possibility.
Yeah, I tend to agree, and Woj went on today on ESPN, and he kind of said, like, it's, you know, they definitely want Ty Lue. I think that there's interest from Ty Lue to the Lakers as well, but it's going to be difficult to get that done. I think Mike Budenholzer would be a tremendous pickup for them. I think Kenny Atkinson would be really good for them, and I totally agree with you about J.J. I do think that he has the chops to be an NBA head coach one day. I would like to see him be an assistant, though, and maybe go that route first. I personally do not want J.J.'s first job to be a LeBron Lakers team.
But here's
I just don't want that for J.J.
He makes so much on the media side. I don't know if he'd hop at anything less than a head coaching gig. You know what I mean?
Like, that's also a very good point.
The issue. He is a media star in the NBA space. For him to hop out to be an assistant coach on the Lakers bench or the damn Hornets bench or whatever the hell job offer, because I'm sure he's gotten offered those in the past, it just feels like it'd be a step down monetarily and a step down in sort of your job security, too. It just doesn't seem like it makes sense. I think if he was going to hop into the NBA, he'd have to have a head coaching job on the table for him.
Yeah.
But I think I agree with you. Hopping in with LeBron and AD and these Lakers and trying to deal with Rob Pelinka and LeBron's decision-making on who comes in, that's not an enviable position year one as a head coach.
Local NBA broadcast team rankings at Awful Announcing. Pete and Brevin were 7th, the New York Knicks were number 1, and dead last, no shocker.
Yes. Bob Fitzgerald
Warriors.
And Kalena Azubuike.
The most biased broadcast team I may have ever heard.
You know what their common score was? An F. They got an F. Pete and Brevin have been as high as 3 on this list in the past. I do not blame Awful Announcing in the slightest for their number 1 pick, because Walt Frazier and Mike Breen, come on.
It's
man.
Tough to beat that.
That's a cheat code. They've never been lower than 2 on this list for Awful Announcing. Nets with Ian Eagle and Ryan Rocco and Noah Eagle as their play-by-play guys with Richard Jefferson and Vince Carter. That's fair. I completely understand that. Antonio Daniels, with the Pelicans, and Joel Myers is a play-by-play. They're number three. At four, Bowles, Adam Amin, and Stacey King. I think they should even be higher. They should probably be two or three in this list. Eric Collins and Del Curry, kind of interesting. It sort of depends on how you feel about
Is that
Eric
the Charlotte?
Collins. Yeah!
Oh,
the Screamer!
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
So Del Curry is a good analyst, but it depends how you feel about Eric Collins, right? He is a very loud, very, you know, animated play-by-play guy, which not really for me.
I like the clips. Don't think I'd like to hear it every game.
Yes, I wouldn't want to hear that every game. Yeah. Especially, you're down by 20 most of the time with the Hornets. Miles Bridges! Dunk! You know, it's like, no, I'm good on that. And then the sixth would be the Timberwolves, Michael Grady and Jim Peterson before you get to Pete and Brevin. But I will say this. Their most common score for all the people at Awful Announcing is an A. And we're blessed. And we've talked about it on several occasions.
Yes.
They're so damn good at what they do. They try to, you know, they don't act as just strictly homers, even though they're on the Grizzlies broadcast. But they bring a good amount of personality to it. Pete's phenomenal play-by-play. Brevin is just like a walking encyclopedia of basketball knowledge when you sort of just look how he breaks down the game, even at pre-halftime and post, some of the things that he sees that we don't see during the first half of games and at the end of the games and the sets they're running, he explains them thoroughly and perfectly. We are blessed here in Memphis, even a small market, to have these two guys calling games.
I truly believe that I am a smarter basketball fan because I've grown up in the city of Memphis and I've been listening to Pete Pranica my entire life. And then when Brevin got added to the broadcast, it just went up another level. We are really blessed in the city of Memphis to have tremendous talent talking about basketball every single day, whether it's on radio or on TV. Our market is really lucky because we could be San Francisco or where your head's just a terrible, terrible homer. You don't really learn much broadcast.
Yeah. But I'll say this, like Pete does NBA TV games too. Like,
there's a reason
been noticed how good this broadcast team is.
And just like the special events too, having a person like Pete Pranica to be able to host those, like the Marcus All retirement ceremony, he did an incredible job rallying those guys together, keeping them on point, and getting the best stories out of them. He gave the audience exactly what they wanted because he's a conduit for all of us. He's asking all of the questions that we want to find out, and he did it to perfection.
Yeah, and Brevin, having played here, having been a vet for a long time, it's just the basketball knowledge that just, you know, radiates off him every single broadcast. It's unbelievable. 82 games, they are out there at the best of their abilities. But that will do it for the Blitz. And I shout out to them. I think they should have been higher than seven. But,
hey,
seven ain't bad.
Hey, we'll take it.
Seven ain't bad at all. They've been as high as three, though, before. They've been as high as three on these Awful Announcing rankings. And, by the way, I know you hear Awful Announcing. They're not hating on anybody. It's just they cover.
Well, they do a lot.
They hate on people when they say stupid things. But this is a legit ranking.
It's kind of freezing cold takes for broadcasters.
Yes, exactly, for the most part. But that will do it for the Blitz. We have one more segment left today, one more segment left in the week. So we'll come back and wrap up the Gabe Kuhn Show for the week next.